Back in the 1990s, a friend of mine traveled to South Africa. And while he was visiting there, he met a man whom he described as having a pure and beautiful soul. My friend said this man was a black South African, a high official with the African National Congress, the ANC. And my friend was impressed by this man's grasp of history and his understanding of how the nations were moving, given the powerful and massive political winds that were happening at that time. And so my friend asked this man, "Where did you do your training?" And he expected the man to answer, "I went to the University of South Africa, or Oxford, or Cambridge, or perhaps the Sorbonne in Paris." But the man replied, in quiet and hushed tones, "I did my training on Robben Island." Robben Island is the Alcatraz-like offshore prison in South Africa. It's the place where black leaders were sent to prison by the white-dominated government when they were trying to suppress all opponents of apartheid. And this man did his time, his training on Robben Island, alongside fellow inmates like Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years there. My friend asked this man, "What did you learn on Robben Island?" And he said, "Well, the evenings were ours, and in the evenings, we learned about our histories, our tribal languages, the dreams of the black man and woman in South Africa. And we also learned how to forgive and love our enemies, including the white men who were pointing their guns at us all the time in prison." And the man spoke about how he was following the teachings and the person of Jesus Christ and how Jesus had made such a powerful difference in his life. This man trained on Robben Island. We've been in a series called Meeting God in Isolation. A few weeks ago, we looked at how David met God in the isolation of a cave. And then we looked at how Jesus met God in the isolation of the wilderness. Last week, Kevin and Julia Garrett shared their powerful story. They alluded to the Apostle Paul meeting God while imprisoned, and then they told their own story of being unjustly imprisoned in China for more than 2 years and how they met God, even in the isolation of prison. If you missed that message, please watch it on our website. And today, as we conclude this series, we're going to be looking at how the Apostle John met God in the isolation of the Isle of Patmos. As we pick up John's story, we will see that he is an old man, probably in his 80s, and he lives in a world where Caesar is regarded as Lord and Savior, and John refuses to acknowledge that Caesar is Lord and Savior. Instead, he proclaims that Jesus is the true emperor. And as a result, he's banished to the Isle of Patmos, which is a tiny Greek island for prisoners on the Aegean Sea. And while he is on Patmos, this remote place, seemingly in the middle of nowhere, in this most unlikely of places, God pulls back the curtain, so to speak, and John receives a revelation from and of Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 1, verse 9, we read these words in Scripture. "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, 'Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches.'" And may God speak to us through this, his holy word. In verse 9, John describes himself as being our brother and companion in the suffering. And some of us feel like we are in a time of suffering and hardship right now. Many of us are feeling COVID-19 fatigue. We're just feeling more tired in general. And John here speaks to us as a fellow sufferer. And if we will listen to his words that are now part of Scripture and watch him live in the book of Revelation, we'll get a window as to how we can meet God on the island of isolation. We read in verse 10, John saying that on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. It's amazing that John is in prison on the Isle of Patmos, and presumably every day is pretty much like the day before it. Every day is pretty much the same, and yet he is mindful that it is the Lord's day. The first day of the week, the day of the week, Sunday, when God raised Jesus from the dead, the day of the week when followers of Jesus gather to worship God. And one of the ways we can meet God when we are on the island of isolation is by setting aside Sunday or a day that we regard as sacred to worship God with others, even if it's online as we are doing today. And it says in the text that on the Lord's day, John was in the Spirit. And another way we can meet God in our isolation is to consciously enter into the realm of the Spirit, into God's presence, which is all around us. And one of the ways that we can consciously enter into the Spirit, into God's presence, is through silence. Mother Teresa once said, "We must all take time to be silent and to contemplate, especially those of us who live in big cities where everything moves so fast. I always begin my prayer in silence, for it is in the silence of the heart that God speaks." Now, I realize that during COVID-19, many of us feel just as busy as we did before. And in some ways, life is more challenging if we have to work at home and homeschool our kids. But for many of us, we also have the potential to set aside some silent time, even in this season, to meet with God, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, or perhaps by taking a walk at some point during the day. Yes, I know that our lives are full, but many of us right now don't have to commute to work or school. Most of us aren't going to sporting events or to concerts or out to restaurants for meals. And so as full as our life is, could we in this strange season create a rhythm where we regularly set aside time for silence so that we can meet God? For it is in the silence of the heart that God speaks. I was recently talking to someone who was sharing with me how she was praying. She was saying, "God, I feel like my own father never really loved me. And I feel sad. And God, I know that I have your presence to comfort me, but still I feel sad." And as she was saying that, she heard a voice in her spirit saying, "Yes, but I love you." And she knew right away that that was God's voice, and her heart was filled with this sense of contentment and satisfaction. Now, of course, God won't speak to us all or that regularly, that dramatically. But if we take time for silence, we will be able to sense God's presence, and we will be able to meet with God in our isolation. We can meet God through Sunday worship. We can meet God in silence, and we can meet God through Scripture. As some of you know, I regularly use the podcast called Encounter. It's not an app, it's a podcast called Encounter. And recently, I was using Encounter, and the host of this guided meditation was taking us through Isaiah 41:10, where God says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And those words, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you," brought me a sense of peace. The fear and the anxiety that I was feeling simply lifted as I encountered God through his word. And this week, as I was getting ready to share some reflections from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, God spoke to me through his word. So for example, in verse 8, in the Revelation, chapter 1, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." And as you may know, Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So God is saying, "I am the A to the Z. I am the beginning to the end. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I am your redeemer. I will redeem everything in your life. Nothing will be wasted." He says, "I will have the last word in your story. You may be in the middle of a difficult and painful chapter, but God would say to you, but your story isn't finished yet, and I will have the last word in your story." God also spoke to me in verse 16 of the Revelation, chapter 1, where John sees Jesus, and in Jesus' right hand, he held the seven stars. Now, we know from the context in the book of Revelation that the seven stars represent angels, messengers to the churches. But we also know that in John's first century world, the seven stars symbolize the seven known planets of their day. And that the people of John's world believed that those seven stars, those seven planets controlled everything, the entire universe. And yet John in his vision sees that the seven stars are in the hands of Jesus. And so John knows that the stars, the planets don't control everything. Jesus controls everything. He is Lord. He is reigning. And as the old song goes, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the itty-bitty babies in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. And in this time of uncertainty, know that he has your life and the whole world in his hands. And then as I continued reading in scripture, I read verse 18 of Revelation 1, where Jesus says, "I am the living one. I was dead. And now, look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." We're living in a time when people are more conscious of and afraid of death. Some people are hoarding food or Lysol wipes. Other people are trying to numb themselves. We know that during COVID-19, pornography viewing is up. I read recently that over a recent period, alcohol consumption was up 55% compared to that same period of time last year. People are experiencing fear and anxiety, and they're trying to numb themselves. They're trying to escape without actually leaving their house. Of course, we need to try to stay healthy and to try to foster the health of others. But we do not need to be afraid of death, because we know the one who was alive and dead and is alive again. We know the one who holds the keys of death and life itself. And so God can speak to us as we gather for Sunday worship, even if it's online. God can speak to us through the silence. God can speak to us through scripture. And God can speak to us through what seem like ordinary thoughts. I remember being in a conversation with someone who was a longtime committed follower of Jesus, very devoted to God. And he was telling me that as far as he knows, he has never heard God speak to him audibly, or He's never had a dramatic vision or some kind of, you know, revelation kind of dream. And for the longest time, he said, I felt like the most mediocre Christian. I felt so second rate. And then he read a book by a guy named Dallas Willard, a very respected author on the spiritual life, who said, God can speak to us through our thoughts. And he said, well, if that's the case, I think God has spoken to me through my thoughts. If you have a thought that you sense didn't come from you necessarily, that's consistent with Scripture, and that can be affirmed by a brother or sister who also walks with Christ, that thought may be a thought from God. And I believe that God has likely spoken to you through your thoughts that seem so ordinary. And as some of you have heard me say before, God can also speak to us through our desires. If our life is committed to God and we're walking in God's way, then generally speaking, our desires, with the exception of our addictions and infatuations, may be a sign of how God is leading us. Now, if we're walking away from God, then our desires may lead us away from God. But if we're committed to God's path, then generally speaking, our desires, especially the ones that grow over time, may be an indication of God's will for us. So God can speak to us as we worship together, through silence, through Scripture, through our thoughts, and through our desires. Whether we're on the Isle of Patmos, so to speak, or in some other space. Now, as we come down the home stretch of this message, I want to just offer a couple of thoughts. Some of you would know one of my life verses comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, where God says, I will raise up someone faithful who will do what is in my mind and heart. And it's my longing that God would make me into someone who does what is in his mind and heart. You know, I've had the gift of following Jesus from the time I was a teenager, from the time I was 15 or 16 years old. And as I look back over my life thus far, I can honestly say that every major chapter of school and my vocation when I was in the business world and when I felt called into pastoral ministry, my key relationships, the question of whether to be married, the question of whether I would start a family, even something as seemingly mundane and as material as the house I would live in, have been guided by God. And if you will seek God in worship, in silence, through Scripture, if you will open up your mind and your heart to God, I believe that one day you will look back over your life and you will be able to say with John and that man in Africa that my friend met, that you, God, have made my spirit and my heart pure and beautiful. And I have fulfilled the purpose for which you have created me. One last movement. John's experience in the book of Revelation shows us that even when we are on an isle of isolation, we can meet Jesus in a new way. John says that he heard a voice like a loud trumpet, and he turns and he sees this figure dressed in a garment that goes down to his feet and with a gold sash around his chest. And then in verse 14, John describes him. He describes Jesus. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. As John is seeing this vision, the last time that John has actually seen Jesus is back in 30 AD on the Mount of Olives. Since that time, 60 years have passed. And then he hears this loud voice like a trumpet, and he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus with snow white hair and eyes of fire, a face like the sun, and a voice like the sound of many rushing waters. John is seeing Jesus as he has never seen Jesus before. And here's something really important to take note of. John was the disciple or student who was closest to Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry. There was no one on earth who was as intimately connected to Jesus as John. John knew him well. But when he sees Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he is just overcome because he is seeing Jesus in a way that he has never seen Jesus before. And what this is telling us is that when we feel like we are in isolation, when we are going through hard times, we may have a picture of Jesus that we've never had before. We may feel like we know Jesus well, but maybe we ain't seen nothing yet. And that Jesus wants to show us himself in a whole fresh new way. And so my hope and prayer for us is that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that we might know Jesus better, so that we might become like Jesus, so that we might know the hope to which we are called. Let's take a moment to pray together. And if you want, you can pray that God would give you a spirit of revelation and wisdom so that you might know Jesus better. You can pray, God, enlighten the eyes of my heart that I might see Jesus and know him, truly know him, and become like him. And may it be so for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.